Lord, being angry, delivered him over to the torturers until he repaid all his debt. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Holy Gospel today, we have the parable of the wicked servant with a large debt. And because he was unforgiving to others, the king, who's forgiven his debt, punishes him until his debt is repaid. There's a terrifying phrase in today's gospel that reminds us of the divine retribution for sin, that we will be called to an account. We are reminded of the existence of hell and of the existence of purgatory. Now, there's an unfortunate tendency, I suppose, to see God as a torturer for our sins, someone who's looming above us to punish us for our sins. It is important for us in the matter of sin and punishment to have a balanced perspective. And I'd like to speak today a little bit about that with regard to the church's teaching on purgatory. Now, there are distortions of the teaching on purgatory. First of all, as far as Protestantism denies the existence of purgatory, and that's the general attitude towards purgatory outside the church. However, you have to point out that the Old Testament does indeed speak of prayers being offered for the dead. So you find in the book of Maccabees mention of prayers for the dead offered till they be loosed from their sins, loosed from their sins. In other words, from the effects of their sins. So you see there an implicit reference to the doctrine of purgatory, at least to the reality of it, even though that you don't have the word purgatory mentioned. But that's very much the idea, loosening from our sins. When we look in history, in Christian antiquity, we see that there was a practice of praying for the repose of the souls of those who had died. And we see that consistently in the history of the church. We know that if we go back far enough in history and examine the nature of the church and the church's teaching, we find this consistency in the church's teaching. In fact, it is denying the doctrine on purgatory that is the innovation. One only arrived at that in the 16th century with the arrival of Protestantism. So consistently then, there's this teaching on purgatory. Now, in the modern church, unfortunately, post-Vatican II church, they ignore this doctrine as well, as something that is too negative. They deny it in the practical order. About 15 years ago, I wrote a study of the orations of the prayers of the modern Mass, and I compared the traditional text in Latin with the modern texts in Latin and noted the different changes. One of the substantial changes that had been made in the prayers of the new Mass, of the Novus Ordo, is with respect to the prayers that are offered for the dead. The possibility of punishment in many, many instances has simply been removed. Very interesting thing that I'd discovered was that the concept of praying for someone's soul had been removed. So consistently, the word in Latin, anima, soul, praying for the souls of the faithful departed, this had been removed. And of course, that's a substantial part of traditional Catholic spirituality and Catholic teaching. You pray for the repose of someone's soul. In virtually all the cases, I think there are 114 prayers for the dead in the New Missal, and all except two were the word soul removed. Even for February 2nd, All Souls Day, they kept the name All Souls Day in English. I suggested in the booklet that perhaps they rename it No Souls Day. So on one side, inside of Protestantism and the new church, there's a tendency to ignore or distort the notion of purgatory. Good Catholics, on the other hand, faithful Catholics, might be tempted then to go to the other extreme, to dwell exclusively on the negative side of purgatory as a place of punishment, as if the only difference between purgatory and hell is that hell will never end. And I think this is unfortunate. One finds this among traditionalists, lengthy tracts, sermons, and so on, all aimed at inducing a fear. We tend sometimes to think of God as the king in today's gospel who hands us over to the torturers until the debt is repaid. But purgatory, it's true, is a place of punishment, but that's not all. That's not all. First of all, you have to remember some basic truths here. The meaning of the word purgatorium means a place of cleansing or purification. And note that implication, cleansing or purification, that there's something here worth saving. That is to say, your soul. So it's part of the mercy of Almighty God. And the souls in purgatory indeed are saved. They're in the state of salvation as truly the saints in heaven are in the state of salvation. It's just they haven't gotten there yet. So first of all, there's that note of cleansing and purification. Secondly, purgatory exists, and those who are there are in fact helped by our prayers. It's part of the communion of saints that the church militant here on earth can pray for the church suffering in purgatory. And that's very consoling. We're united to those souls, the souls of our beloved especially. Another truth about purgatory is that the primary suffering is the deprivation of the beatific vision. That we long, that is to say, for the vision of Almighty God face to face. In purgatory, you know that you'll possess it, but it's postponed because of your sins and imperfections. So near yet so far. And so that's the primary suffering there. We have to have this wholesome view. It is a stage in preparation to enter heaven. Nothing defiled can enter heaven, not even the slightest imperfection. For the viewing of Almighty God face to face. And who among us really is perfect? That chances are even at death, even though we die in the state of sanctifying grace, we may still have stains from venial sins we've committed, the lesser sins or imperfections, an unpaid debt of temporal punishment that we have to make up to balance the scales, as it were. And we should be glad to know that there is a cleansing stage where these things can be removed. So we go for a more wholesome view of purgatory, and remember that for anything important we prepare. In the spiritual order we prepare for the reception of the sacraments. That takes a while. Christ prepared his apostles with a long and careful training before they preached. And Christ himself prepared for 30 days in the desert before his public ministry. So it is reasonable for us to expect that if we are not prepared to see the vision of Almighty God, there will be a stage or a means where we will be prepared. And that's the part of the truth of purgatory. So we have to have a correct attitude toward it, this cleansing suffering and purifying pain. We should be unwilling to see Almighty God, to go before him in a state of unpreparedness. Not perhaps so much afraid to die as ashamed to die, that ashamed to meet God with the traces of sin still remaining. So we should be grateful that God allows the state of purification in purgatory where we can put off our lukewarmness and we can prepare to meet him. So it's a balanced attitude as Catholics that we ought to have. That true, it is punishment, but it is also purification. And we must enter into God's presence undefiled and walking in the law of the Lord. We should not conceive of God as a torturer, but as God the merciful and God the all-holy. And at the thought of purgatory, our hearts should be filled with gratitude toward him for his all-provident love toward us, his fallen creatures. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.